We are talking about the believer's authority, and this is week two of that. We're talking about that it's up to me. And so we started this last week, and we've been, okay, let's just review on some of those things that we talked about. It's not always being taught at church. I am for the church. I believe God, that's an institution God ordained, he put in there. We are the body of Christ. This is obviously just a building. And you are the church. And so I'm not just trying to make us all feel good, but isn't it great if we know how to operate? I want to know what works and what doesn't. If it's not working, if the horse is dead, find another ride. You know, if I can't get on and go anywhere, time to get, you know, find out why it's not working. So most of the, you know, I said this last week, one of the things that people ask me the most, who's going to take care of these things they're facing? The mountains that are in front of them, the issues that they face, who's going to take care of them if they're dealing with it? Because somebody's mountain may not be your mountain, but it's theirs. So they have to deal with that. So what does the word say about that mountain? What's your responsibility? And so what happens is a lot of times we don't understand authority, so we don't do the right thing. It's not that we don't want to do the right thing. The Bible says that we are destroyed because of lack of what? Knowledge. And if we don't know it, we don't know to do it. And part of us not knowing it is because we don't put our hand to it. We don't put the effort to find out what God says about it. So what, if we don't know anything, we don't do anything. So we're asking God, we're praying to God, God, please do this. But we're asking him to do what he told us to do. And so we're upset that nothing's happening. We're not seeing results, and we're like, okay, that's not happening. But God has told us to do something, and we end up almost doing what we're not supposed to do because we don't know. And the whole push of what this is we just need to know the word. We just need to get in the word. What does God say about your situation? What does God say about mountain moving? What does God say about healing? What does God say about depression? What does God say about this? And if we would understand God has an answer and we would get that answer, we could declare that answer, we could walk it out in faith, and we would see that answer resolved. Last week we talked about, I mentioned, if you remember, the wiles of the devil, because he is a deceiver. He schemes, and we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. That's in Ephesians. But we know there's still a physical battle. We know there's a spiritual battle. We like to just almost wish things away. I mean, this has been a week I'd love to have wished away, but, you know, we'd like to just close our eyes and go, you know, almost like the cowardly lion, I do. You just got to understand there are things that you have to put your hand to. You know, the Bible talks about we have to take some things by force. If the intruder comes in your house, chances are he's not going to leave just because you say, get out. There's cookies in the cookie jar. Take a couple and get out. He won't do that. If he comes in your house to steal, kill, and destroy, you will have to take him by force and get him out. We must put our hand to the things of God. The enemy doesn't surrender willingly. You need to understand that. He doesn't just roll over and go, okay. He knows what the word says. What he doesn't know is what you know. He knows what the word says because he twists it, because he is the father of lies. He knows the implications and the authority and what God has given and what Jesus has given and taken back and given to you. He just wants to make sure you know it. Well, he doesn't want you to know it. Sometimes if just because we're aware of the battle doesn't mean we aren't going to be in it. You're in it many times whether you want to be or not. If you're a believer, you will go against the grain. You cannot go in this world and just go with what the world says is okay. Not be a believer. Not and live with the beliefs of the Bible. You're really going to struggle. If you refuse to recognize the enemy at work, it gives him more time to take ground. And I don't want to give him any time to take ground. I don't want to lose the battle, and I certainly am not going to lose the war. Be aware of what's going on. Stand up, take your authority against the wiles or the things that the enemy tries. 2 Corinthians 10:3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. We are physical, yes, but we're not supposed to fight just physically. We have to deal with people and we have to deal with problems, but we are also supposed to fight spiritually. Now in karate, if I'm fighting an opponent, I saw Roy, there's Roy. He's my buddy, but we were also opponents and we fought, and I get in trouble all the time for grabbing him. And because in that style, like, you can't grab him. I'm like, dude, if I'm in the street and we're fighting, oh, I'm grabbing him. And Roy would be like, let go, you know. Because you can't let Roy, he will pound me. I'm going to grab him. Have you seen him? It's not like he's, hello there. No, Roy's like, I will hurt you. Yes, you will. I'm going to grab you. So some things we have to take by force. We have to say, all right, this is what we're going to do. Our weapons. What are our weapons? If we're going to fight in the spiritual, what are the principalities and powers, the rulers of darkness, the wickedness, the spiritual stuff of high places? How does that get to us? How does it attack us? Your brain attacks you in your thoughts. That thing between your ears. That's where it goes. And that's what he tries. He wants to change your thinking. Because what you believe is true, he'll tell you is not true. If the word says it's true, he'll twist it. If he can get you to not believe it, you see, then the battle starts swaying towards him. He attacks you through your thoughts. 2 Corinthians tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty for God, pulling down strongholds. Then it describes him, casting down arguments. Every high thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You see, the enemy, that's how he gets you, lies and deception. Anybody can spread lies and deception. Colossians 2:8, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy or empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, not according to Christ. You see, the enemy doesn't have the power to overwhelm you or overcome you unless you let him. People give the enemy more power and credit than he deserves, and I'll tell you right now, he doesn't deserve any. Jesus stripped him of all of it. Every bit of it was taken from him. I'm not saying the enemy doesn't exist. We don't need to address him and cast him out and bind him. But he is a force that has already been defeated. He is a defeated foe. And the power he obtains is what we give him. The inroad we give him. The thought we give him. Deceit and lies. Let's peel the onion back a little further. Back to the Garden of Eden with Eve. When he came to her, he didn't come as a lion, or he came as a serpent, as a snake. And he comes in and he says, now God, you got to understand, God had already, he made them in his own image, and God walked with them. That is just so cool. Now he is in us. Then he walked with them. But God had made them in the image, and she was in the image of God. And so the enemy comes after who your identity, who you are. Did God say? That's how he attacked Jesus, those three temptations. If you are the Son of God, did God say? It's always about who you identify with. Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. I do what the Father says. You hear me? That's what he told me. You see, the serpent had to deceive. He had to get her to buy the lie. He can't come in and take it because it's in her possession. Are you with me? So he had to get her deceived. They would have to believe him to allow access. And not just to give Eve a hard time. If you read the word, Adam was there. He just didn't say nothing. See, the devil becomes a factor if we let him be a factor. I mean, you understand, He's going to fight. I get it. But he has no power. He's unrelenting. He's vicious. And he will play head games with you. No, I'm not going to quote the song. Because I know as soon as I said that, all you guys from back in the 70s and 80s are like, oh, yeah, Foreigner. That's all I get from you. Oh, never mind. Okay. Maybe you're sick in some way, and you didn't ask for that sickness or disease, and somewhere, somehow, some way, maybe we made ourselves susceptible to it. We just, you know, we said things like, you know, you might be sitting there going, Brett, are you nuts? I would never say, hey, yes, give me that snot cold. I'd like that, you know. We wouldn't be saying that. What I'm saying is, if the Lord gave us total authority and power, and I'm still working on this myself, so before you get real mad, I am not perfect. I have been sick before. It's rare, but I have been sick before. I don't want to be sick again. I'm against it. I don't like it. But he gave us total authority. Exodus, it says, you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water. This is 23:25 of Exodus. And it says, I will take sickness away from the midst of you. When we pray over our food, we'll say, take sickness from our midst. Now, my son-in-law goes, because he thinks we say mitt. Well, he knows we don't, but here's my mitts. Take sickness from my mitts. But he takes it from the midst of you. The words take and away are the Hebrew words that literally mean to turn off. And what God is saying is, I want to walk in divine health, don't you? You know what that is? I don't want to be sick anymore. I just want to walk healthy. So I'm, again, working on that. Only with your eyes shall you look, and I'll see the reward of the wicked. Psalm 91:8, Psalm 91:10. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. So that word that we read before that says, his word says he heals all of our sicknesses and all of our diseases. And he'll turn off sickness. Do you know what all means in there? It means all. It doesn't mean he'll take part of my every other one. It means all. Matthew 10:1, when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal some. It says all. All kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. And so he tells them to do it. It's the same thing he's telling you and me. The word, Hebrews 13:8 says, he doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he's telling them, he's telling you and I. Matthew 10:8 says, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. He didn't say, seek him and ask him to do it. He told us to do it. It was really cute yesterday. Arrow was over at my house, and he said, Potts, that's what he calls me, Potts. He said, my leg hurts. And I said, well, put your hands on your leg and pray over it. He said, no, Mommy did that. And I said, well, whose leg is it? Is it your leg or is it Mommy's? He said, it's my leg. I said, well, take authority over that. And he goes, no, Daddy has authority. So I told that to Justin. Justin's like, that's right. You know, but I mean, it's just simple truth, though. I mean, you have authority. You know, you can heal yourself. I mean, you're not really the healer, but you are the agent that brings healing. The healer is Jesus, the Spirit of God that lives in you. You can put your hands on your own self and watch God do it. All means all. You know what happens in the world today? I don't think anybody likes sickness. Some people do. Some people, you might say, if you thought hard, you could think of people that just go, oh, yeah, because if I live in this, they almost think, well, I get more attention. Or there's people that, you know, if you walked into a hospital and you're a person that God has used for healing, there are people like, don't pray for me because I'm getting a lot of money from You see, who's your Lord? We grow in a world that it's just part of society and we're just supposed to accept it. It's allergy season, so. It's flu season, so. I'm supposed to have all these problems then. If you're ever going to have them, well, you know, it is. We just accept it as truth. But I think that's lies from the enemy. I think he's twisted us into believing our twisted truth into thinking that's just part of, that's status quo. I'm telling you right now, Jesus was never status quo. Jesus came and he fulfilled all the prophecy, went to the cross, took all of the healing, and bore it on his body. Come on, either he did or he did not. And he did, so that means because of that, he stripped Satan of every bit of stinking power he thought he had. He took it away and gave it back to us. So we have what Jesus gave us, and we should use it. I bet Adam lived over 900 years because nobody told him he didn't get his flu shot. Did you get your updated COVID vaccine, Adam? I won't go there, but I did anyway. I'm not saying you don't age. We do. I get it. But I want to be here 120 years if the Lord tarries. I'd like to go in the rapture. That'd be great if that happened soon, wouldn't it? Because I finally would get to fly like Superman. I would hope that sometime, hey, I'd hear a trumpet and Jesus would go, go ahead. You got a suit on. I put it there. That would be great. Come on, Kim, let's go. She'd be like, I'm way ahead of you, brother. Catch up. Anyways, you can't age, but you know, there are some people that just, you're like, wow. They're of an age where they're not doing what it seems like most others at that age are doing. Does that make sense? I mean, and I'm just like, I want to, when I'm in my 90s, I want to be like that. Or when I'm this, I want to be like, if the Lord tarries. Does that make sense? I hope that makes sense because I want to have life and live it to the fullest. I want to live my life on purpose. So anyway, I resist. Not God, but I resist the enemy. I refuse to give him permission for anything. Now, I get it. We're all human. But I tell you what, if I get the awares, I'm like, whoop, nope. As my wife would say, we put the low down on the Motown, or however her term is on that. She'll, as Barney Fife would say, nip in the bud. You know, we will take care of that. But we've been grown up with this stuff. We have stuff I'll ask or people like, oh, would you pray for, they'll say, and again, please don't get offended. I'm just trying to help you. Would you pray, they'll say, would you pray for my allergies? Do you want to call them yours? I wouldn't. I would just say, would you pray for allergies that are attacking me or whatever, but I'm not going to call them mine and believe I get deliverance from that and see that happen. We have people say stuff like, well, it runs in my family. Well, there's a good excuse. Well, my grandpa died of this, and then his son died of this, and then so you might have this, and your son's, well, you want to break that? It stops now. Cancer's not running in my family. Is it going to run in yours? Sickness isn't going to run in my family. Is it going to run in yours? Hey, I have a snot ball cold here. Come here, son. Let me give it to you. I'm not going to do that. It doesn't run in my family. We stop it. And we do whatever's necessary to stop it. Well, Brett, it's still existing. Well, then you come against it, and you pray against it, and you treat it as God would have you treat it. I'm not saying those don't exist. I'm saying take authority over it. I've had my back go out, and before when I did nothing, took me weeks to really get around. I've had it go out same thing, same time, and in 2 days, I was back doing everything. 2 weeks, 2 days, you choose. What was the 2 days like? I don't like it. It was painful. But 2 weeks were painful. I'm not going to say give me any of that. I won't have it. See? Got to watch what I say. Word police. Ooh. You're speaking your future. That's what you're doing. When we talk, we're talking our future. The world you have, you made it. You framed it. If you don't like it, start speaking different. Start. And you know how that starts? Your thinker. Sometimes our thinker is a stinker. You got to quit thinking the way the world thinks. What does the Word of God tell me to think? Whatsoever things are true, holy, good report, pure, lovely. Take this thought captive. I love my wife. She'll be walking around, and all of a sudden I'll hear, and I've done this too, but I'll hear, she'll say, "That's not my thought." Because the enemy will hit her with, I don't know what it was, but she's like, "That's not my thought." You know what she's saying? I'm taking that captive. I am not going to, and I'm giving it to the Lord. I'm casting that to him. So you can stop things in your family by speaking and believing and exercising because you have those rights by God. Satan is behind the lies. Don't accept it. Don't buy in. If somebody comes to your house with a package and they hand it to you and they say, "Sign here," and it's ticking, don't sign for the package. What is it? Don't sign for it. Get into the Word of God and go by what it says. The Bible says he heals all of your sicknesses. It says he heals all of our diseases. No plague will come nigh my dwelling. By his stripes I was healed. Not I'm going to be healed, but I am already healed. 1 Peter 2:24, I am already healed. The Bible actually in that verse says you were healed. You're healed. Healed. You were healed and you were healed. I heard you. But the resurrection power of Jesus lives on the inside of us. On the inside of me, and if you're a believer, it lives on the inside of you. Ephesians 1, 18 and 20. I've already got it. Death and life are in the power of my tongue. Proverbs 18, 21. And I can say those things and begin to put new things in framework. Do you want to accept everything that man thinks? Could be wrong. Now listen, I'm going to tell you a story. Please tell us. Good, I'm glad you asked. We took Sam. Sam had a problem when he was little, and they called it reactive airway disease. RAD, I guess, for short, or whatever. But it was like a allergy type thing, and it would... He'd get a reaction, and it would literally close him up where he couldn't breathe. And we had stuff that happened, and Kim called in to, you know, rebuke stuff and things, and God miraculously healed him. I said all this, but we took him one place to get shots they said that he had to have. And so then they go through these shots, and the nurse... You ever been somewhere and they say something you're thinking, they probably shouldn't have said that because they tell you too much information. I mean, well, you know, I'm thankful for it because, you know, they just said, well, he has to have this. You have to give it to him. But we do have to warn you and you have to sign this paper that this could kill him and he could have this, 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 and this, and this. I just looked at my wife and she's already like, she's looking at me like, take the mountain. Remove it, you know, or whatever. Because if I'm not, she's going to, but she already knows, oh, I'm way ahead of that. I said, nope. And they began to ridicule us for not, we got him and we walked out of there. And they're like, you can't leave. I'm like, watch me. We are not doing that. I mean, you're asking me to sign a paper that says if he dies, you just don't want to be liable. Who told you that he needs this? They didn't have any answers, and we said, nope, because what we said was, God, you are our healer. To this day, he never got those shots. He's doing just fine. And matter of fact, God healed him of all of that. He doesn't have any symptoms of that at all. It just went away. God just healed him. Yes, amen. But you see, what we had to do was exercise. We had to say with our mouth what we were believing God was doing. When we were in Medicaid and welfare office and we were receiving all of that help, and I'm thankful for that help, but, you know, there are some that I know abuse that. We were just trying. It's supposed to be to get you on your feet so then you can go and do and you can get off that. I was glad to get off that, but we were in there, and to make a long story short, I couldn't take anymore, and I heard the Lord just say, is this what you want? Our kids were all in there, and I said, no. And I looked at Kim. I said, we're leaving. She's like, thank you. We gathered the kids and we walked out. And man, I'm telling you, people gasped and we got comments and all that. We never went back, and God took care of us every step of the way. Because you have to exercise that. We believe what the word says. He will take sickness away from the midst of us, Exodus 23, 25. That means he hits the off switch. Isn't that cool? Think of that. Sickness is trying to come in. God goes, nope. Yay. We have automatic lights in our new house in a couple places. You just walk in the laundry room and the light goes, pah. And it just comes on. You walk into our bedroom closet, pah. It just comes on. I'm like, sweet. But I also, in the pantry, it does that too. I found out you can be in the pantry or whenever those, and if you're in there too long, the light goes, poof. And you're like, hey, I got to get somewhere where it sees me move again and turns back on. That has nothing to do with the story, but I just thought that was cool. But I can walk in the light, and God can switch off sickness. Why? Because I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that he died for me. His blood is true and has forgiven me and heals me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. The devil is under those. And I can declare the glory of God. I know this is radical and probably like to the average person, he is going off. But that's the reason the average person battles sickness all the time. I don't want to battle sickness. He's already beat it. I'm just going to let him. You know what? It's not on what I did. This isn't about self-righteousness or look at what I did. This is about what he did. This is about me saying, I'm under you. And because you did that, you have told me to stand under you. And you have told me I have all authority. You have told me I have all. You have given that to me. I don't have to deal with all of this garbage from the devil. I'm not saying this to condemn anybody. Again, I'm a work in progress. I haven't reached everything I want to yet, but I'm on my way. I'm not where I was before. And I'm heading somewhere. I'm going to drain my doubt and feed my faith. How about you? If I've stated this, the word says, and you know what? The word never lies. Never lies. Now, we are given a brain, and I think we need to use it. Sometimes we all sit here and wonder, like, I don't think they're using their brain. I think their brain's pretty well dormant. And there have been times that I haven't used my brain. I haven't listened to the Lord. You ever listen to the Lord? How about, let me give you a couple examples. For me, I'm a go person. I am like, I couldn't wait to get in my barn and get things situated. And so I'm out there and I'm getting, it's getting almost pretty well done. And I'm excited about that. And so I've sent in videos to Kim. You know, she's in the house. I'm like, look at this. I sent it to Justin. Look at this. I sent it to my sister. Look at this. And, you know, because they're in my inner circle, you know, and they're like, oh, that's so great. That's awesome. So, you know, send all that. I get it. This is what I'm doing. And I'm doing all of this. But sometimes the Lord will say to me something like, you need to just rest. And you just push that off. I'm not resting. I got more to do. Well, there's always something to do. How many knows that? Here's one thing that seems like it never gets done. Dishes. I don't know how you women put up with that. I mean, I help her all the time, but I'm like, I just did dishes, and I go over to the sink, and there's like four more that just went, like, who put them there? Do you open the dishwasher? You see the thing is closed. That means load it in the dishwasher. Laundry. She doesn't want me to do laundry. I just thought all temperature cheer meant everything could just go in one. Yeah, see? Yeah, if we have pink socks, pink is just like red. That's all I'm saying. So anyways, there have been times I'm like, hey, I did the laundry for you. And she'll go, did you put my one sweater in there? Yeah. So now it looks like it would fit Arrow. She's like, no. I get it. I understand. But sometimes we do things to ourselves, like when the Lord's telling you to just rest a little bit, because your body, you're still in a human body and it needs to replenish. You need to take some rest. Some of y'all, you're glad for naps. Sandy's back there, thank you, Jesus. Naps can be really good, you know, and the mothers that have toddlers or, you know, they're like, I wish they liked naps. When your kid grows out of naps, you're like, what do I do? Those kind of things. So, you know, if I didn't rest and replenish my body and then I felt sluggish or I felt like I was getting a cold, sometimes I did it to myself. Are you with me? Because I wasn't listening. Let me get you, if you're a dude. Now, women can probably appreciate that. Sometimes Kim will say, I'm just going to rest today. Is that okay? I'm like, yeah, that's okay. But I said, just please do that, because she is like, Cinderella, Cinderella, night and day, it's Cinderella. Because the house is always immaculate. She's always doing something. So, and I appreciate that. She's an incredible wife and housemaker. But let me get speak to the dudes. Buffets. Have you ever went to a buffet and thought, I have overdone it? Is that God's fault? No. Or is that your fault? It's your fault. And then you fight, you know, heartburn or indigestion or just that miserable feeling and all of that stuff. And so we have to listen. God didn't do that. We have to put our hand to it. It's called self-control. It's called wisdom. It's called knowledge. But we declare the word. We pray. We believe. You know, and if you're saying, okay, my kid is, I prayed over them, but they're sick. They have a fever, but I'm going to take them to church. Probably not a smart idea. They have a fear because there's a lot of kids. Maybe they're not in the same faith position you're at. Does that make sense? Now, you can bring them to church. Let me know. I'm not going to catch it, but I'll pray for them. They'll be healed, and we'll go from there. But if you're going to just send them back in the room, you might want to rethink that idea, because there'll be other parents who are like, I do not appreciate that. So you got to use wisdom on that. That doesn't mean that God can't use doctors or medicine. So before I get hate mail, he uses those. I get it. But I'll tell you what, you might not need some of that if you believe the word. God might help you with that. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying the more you trust him, the less you'll need man. Make sense? I want to walk in total health. How about you? I speak to my body every day. I speak to my joints and to my knees, and I tell my metabolism, I have the metabolism of a young athletic man. It burns fat 24/7. And I just picture my metabolism in there going, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. But I think they're missing a few chains, so I'm trying to pick that up. We taught our kids to pray. We'd sit around the bed, we'd kneel around the bed, and we'd go, you know, in order. And Mal would be the prayer warrior, and she would say stuff like, Jesus, and thank you for my friends, and thank you for the blades of grass, and thank you. I mean, I'm exaggerating, but she would pray for all the stuff. You'd see Zach and Sam like, oh, dear Jesus, just help her hurry up. You know, because she would just go on. And Zach would pray the same prayer almost every night. He would say, God, thank you for our house. Thank you for my family. Put angels around the woods. And I thought to myself, because, you know, you have power. You can dispatch things. And I just thought, those angels are probably like, wood duty again. Great, somebody stop this kid. But, I mean, they literally, you know what, one thing about kids is they believe everything they pray. That's the great thing about it. They're not adulted to the point of, well, let's just think this through. They just believe because they believe. That's why it's really important that you start them on the track of what the word says. Get them grounded in the word of God. I was on staff at a church years ago, and the pastor and I was the assistant pastor and youth pastor and stuff, and we'd go around, you know, people would be in the hospital, we'd go pray for them. And so we'd go in there, and he was very, very cautious. And there would be times, he said, we can't go in there and pray for this. We can't go because what they have is contagious. I would be looking at him, and I didn't know what I know now. But I'm like, well, doesn't the word say we lay hands on the sick and they recover? Isn't that what it says? And so I just go in, and people just recover. I mean, I saw people healed from ICU to just whatever they were in there for. And here's what I'm telling you. There are things that he believed, well, I can't do that. I believed, if God said I can do that, I can do that. He got what he believed. He got sick quite often. I got to preach more. I believed what I believed. I didn't get sick quite often. I got to preach more. So what I'm saying is we have to form our allegiance with what the Word says. We have to say, God, that, if you said it, that settles it. That's it. You know, even if you don't believe the Word, it's already settled. You understand there's laws. You don't have to believe in gravity. After church, go up on the roof. We'll watch you jump. Gravity's still going to work. You have to understand the Word is always true. So, listen, if you're battling sickness or you're battling something, speak to it. Take authority over it. What is it not doing? Lay your hands on that. Speak to what you want it to do. Believe what the Word says. Feel healing be released because of your belief. Because of your action, faith will be released. I believe what God said. That simple. It's not because of what I'm doing. It's because I believe he said, do it. So that's why I do it. Don't submit to the enemy. Now, I'm not saying you're getting sick on purpose. I'm not saying anything like that. So please, I have compassion for that because, again, I'm still working on this, just so you know. Let me say this. When I was bodybuilding and when I managed the fitness center, the biggest thing was everybody was like, we want to bench 300 pounds. I wanted to bench 300 pounds. So I finally benched over 400 pounds. But that's another story. But I wanted to bench 300. That was my first, you know, big thing. But I couldn't just go, here's my point. I couldn't just walk up to the bench and go slap it on there. Very few people could do that. Maybe Roy could, but, you know, other than Roy, probably not anybody. His wife is going, no, he can't do that. But anyway, you know, so my point is I had the potential to bench 300 pounds, but I had to work at it. Does that make sense? So I had to start. I couldn't do it at first, but it was something I knew I could do. So I started working at it. And I got to this point, and I did this. I did the things required that I knew that I could build my muscle up enough so that I could bench it. I had to build up my triceps. I had to build up my deltoids on because that helps with a strong bench. So I had to do all of that. And I was consistent with it. And pretty soon, I was benching 300. Then I was benching over 300. Then I was doing 365 for 5. I was doing all that. I was just like, that was incredible to me. But what I'm saying is this. I'd have to condition. I'd have to work up to that. I'd have to desire, God, what do you want me to do? See, sometimes we just think we can't do it. God might say something to you, and you're like, I can't do that. Well, obviously, you need God. If you could do it all, then you wouldn't need God. But he's going to give you an idea or something that you're like, I can't complete this without you. And so you have something to go for. You see, everybody in here is full of potential. You have incredible potential. What's God saying to you? Can you see yourself for what he's saying? Because, you know, for us, we couldn't see a lot of stuff in the beginning. And we're still looking now. We would dream together. We would, what do we want to do? What are we believing? And we would be not anywhere close to what we were believing. But we would take our dreams and we would put them out there. Lord, with you, all things are possible to him who believes. And we would stand on that. And we've seen those dreams come to pass. I'm going to give you these three quick points. I've used these before, but they work. Because most people think, I can't do this. I'm not you. Well, you know what? Sometimes you should be glad you're not me. And I'm not you, and I should be glad I'm not you. I'm who I am, and you are who you are. You don't have to. The world will teach you if you could cheat your way and skip A, B, C, D, E, F and just go to here, there'd be people that'd be like, oh. If it was legal or it was trustworthy. But what if it's invaluable for you to learn what you need to learn, A, B, C, D, E, F? Start where you are, number one. I don't know. We have to get this. We need this much to be out of debt, or I need to lose this much weight, or I'm believing God for this. Start where you are. Where are you? Right where you are. Right there. Start where you are. Secondly, use what you got. When we started this church, we got the bare bones minimum. What do we need to do? Well, we need this. We need that. We need this. That's what we got. And so we did what we could. Did we have all the bells and whistles? We still don't have all the bells and whistles. Bells and whistles don't get you to heaven. I mean, it's good to enjoy the experience and all that. I get that. But what is God, you just tell me what to get. And so my list might be like this. You ever give Santa a list and your list is like that? You want to hear something? My mom used to tell me every year, my sister, where's my sister? I saw her there. She'd say, make a list. You didn't make a list. I said, Mom, why do I make a list? I don't get anything on it. She'd say stuff like, well, that's true, but I still need your list. Really? My mom, I would get, you know, they come in three packs. That's three presents to my mom. She'll take them out and wrap them individually. She'd tell me and my sister, well, y'all got the same amount of gifts. I'm glad I didn't get a box of toothpicks, Mom, because you start where you are. Use what you got. What do you have that you can use? You might find, I've had people, I've helped them get financially, like, we don't know what we're going to do. We don't know what we're going to do. Have a garage sale. You'd be amazed if you've ever moved, and we have. Don't anybody say anything. We had a lot of stuff, and we've downsized. We just started, okay, we're giving this to Goodwill. We used it as seed money. We give it away. We do whatever. Use what you got. You might sell it and get some money and go, woo, I just paid that off. You have more than what you think. Start where you are. Use what you got. Third one, do what you can. Put your hand to it. Just do what you can. And you'll be surprised at the momentum that will pick up. You'll start getting excited. Have you ever broke dollars to save your change? Oh, man, we did that. We were wanting a vacation. We weren't even saving a dollar. And the Lord told Kim, she's like, we want to go on vacation. He goes, you don't even save a dollar. So we're like, all right. Because sometimes the truth is just so fun. So we started saying, let's just save our change. So every time, that was back in the day before you had cards as much. Because now it's like anybody, mostly you hardly ever have cash on you. Because it's hard to just have cash. How many like having cash on you? I love having cash on me. I got to do that more because I like it. It's easier to be generous. It's easier, anyway. But so we started saving change, and we put it in this big, like a big, one of those big pretzel things. Well, actually, we had remember those plastic Coke bottles? And you could put your change in and put it in there. When we left, I pulled that thing and the bottom fell out of it. We spent a couple hours wrapping coin. But we started breaking dollars on purpose, like, I need gum. Well, we really didn't need gum. I need gum. Let me go break this. And we'd come back with the change, and we'd put it in there. And the kids were getting into it. And we started telling them, well, this is going for vacation. Listen to what I'm telling you. Little as much when God is in it. In that adventure that we had with our family, we saved enough to pay for our entire cabin for the week. Over $700 we collected in change. At that time, cabins are more expensive now. But what I'm saying is, we did it. And we didn't have to pull it from anywhere. What was happening, our money, we already tithed off our money. This was just from the cash that we got. Start where you are. Use what you got. Do what you can. If 5:14 of Hebrews says, solid food belongs to those who are full of age, that is, those who by reason use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So you got to exercise yourself spiritually to get to the place where you're healthy. God, what do I need to do? What's some things I can do? I don't want to live under the bar less than what Jesus has for me, what he's provided. He already went to the cross. He's not going again. Why would I just want to dishonor him by saying, I don't believe you can give me that? You have to pursue the things of God. You have to. You know, the proof is in pursuit. When I met Kim, she's probably like, is there an off button on this guy? Because from that point on, my biggest concern after I met her was like, she's not going to like me. How could I think that? I mean, because she was just the most spectacular person and still is that I've ever met. And she did like me. So I'm like, there is a God. But I, literally for the rest of the time, I was probably at her house like every day. And Charlotte cooked for me. That was a good thing. You know, just, and I got to, you know, I spent time with her family. But I had a part to play. I was trying to establish a relationship, but I was believing God for what he had showed me. Some of it, I had to renew my mind, my thinking of, you're not worthy, you're not good enough. I have to cast those thoughts. Even the best people, they might not tell you, but they have thoughts to cast. Just because everybody on Facebook appears to be, oh, you know that's not true. You have to believe what the word says and believe it for yourself. It's great that your pastor believes it, or maybe your parents or somebody in your family, but what do you say? You understand that Jesus made this personal. Who do they say I am? Peter says, some say Elijah. Some say this, some say that. And Jesus says, who do you say I am? You see, it comes down to what you say. What you say. Sometimes that's a process. It doesn't happen instantly because we have questions. I don't understand why this happened or that. But there's a trust issue there. And so we have to begin to, Lord, I just trust you. You know things I don't know. There's protocol. I'm almost finished. I had a kid one time tell me he wanted to be on the praise team. I said, okay. He said, I play the guitar. I said, I didn't know you played the guitar. He said, well, I don't. I said, come again? He said, yeah, I believe God told me that he's going to give me a guitar, and I'm going to play it better than anybody in the world. I'm going to play it on the praise team. And I want to be on this Sunday. That's what I said. And I said, oh, I said, so you know, he said, no, I believe when I get the guitar in my hand, it'll just happen. I said, okay. I went up on the platform. I got him a guitar. I don't think he was ready for that, but if you know me well enough, I said, here you go. Let's jam. He couldn't jam. And he never played the guitar. He never played on the praise team. He never stayed. Matter of fact, he strayed. And he left. Why are you telling me? Because that, now, could God do that? All things are possible to whom it believes. I believe God could do that. I'm not saying he couldn't. But I'm saying, most generally, even through God, that's a learned process. I mean, I play the guitar. Most of you don't know that, but I don't know chord progressions or anything like that. I'm just a redneck playing a guitar. Not very well, but I'll get better. But it's a learned process. What I'm telling you is you have to pursue the things of God. When you get after God, you'll start learning the way that he functions. Could he all of a sudden, you know, make you play better or help you or give you more, you know, limber fingers or whatever? Sure he could. He's God, yeah. But I got to put myself in that arena. I got to put myself willing to be tested. I'm trying to tell you, you're deeper than you think. There's more to you. You are full of potential. And you don't have to continue to limp along if you don't want to. You can start getting out of the woods. But it's going to take your consistent effort. Not just, well, I tried it and it didn't work. You have to stay with what God says. Because this isn't based. I mean, in essence, it is based on your belief, whether it happens for you, but this has already been proven. Jesus already died for it. It's just whether you're going to jump in and believe it or not. God gave you authority, and he's not going to do what you're supposed to do. He's expecting you to take the reins. Matthew 10:1, it says that he's telling his disciples, you have power over unclean spirits to cast them out and heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. All, again, means all. Not some, not a portion, not every other one, not just the ones you like, all. There are no restrictions on that. We need to wake up and I just have to say, okay, God. I'm going to go off that. So I'm about finished. So I'm going to be finished with that. So I won't keep looking at it. I had a student one time that I did this illustration. You might have heard it before. And I had a 1x6. So it's about like 1 inch thick and 6 inches wide. And I laid it on the floor. And this kid was an athlete. I mean, he was a jock. So, you know, when he carries himself, like when I call him up front, you know, jocks, if they're real jockey, they don't just walk like this. He was like, you know, because he's a jock. And I get it. He's fast. He's good looking. You know, he's muscular, whatever. I said, I want you to walk across that board. He said, okay. Walks across it. I said, now skip. And he skips, run. He ran across it. And everybody's like that, and he's just laughing. So then I got two chairs, and I put the backs facing there. I took that board and set it on the top of the two chairs. I said, I want you to walk across that board. He said, no. I said, why not? Same board. He's like, it's not the same. I said, well, it's the same board. I just picked it up, put it in. Different situation. My point is this. We tend to look at everything and make our judgment. And I get that because we're human. But if God said heal the sick, does it matter how sick they are? But our mind needs to be captured. Now, could he have walked on that board? Well, I was praying like, if he does it, Lord, let this work. You know, because... But I believe there'd have been angels that had just stood there like this, just held that board, and that kid could have walked right across it. But see, we see circumstances, and we're just like Peter because we're human. We get our eyes off the Lord. God, I don't know how I can do that. I can't, I mean. But yet in the beginning, we're brave. If that's you, you tell me to come. Jesus says, well, come on. You almost feel that point like you're Bob Barker, and they said, come on down. Woo! You don't know Bob Barker, then you're not from my era. That was The Price is Right. So, anyway, but what? There's going to be things that God's going to tell you to do that you're going to be, that seems impossible. And it is on your own. But if you trust in him, he'll set it up where that can happen. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes, please.